Penguin Random House Audio presents A Russian Journal by John Steinbeck. Read for you by Richard Poe. Chapter 1. It'll be necessary to say first how this story and how this trip started, and what its intention was. In late March, I, and the pronoun is used by a special arrangement with John Gunther, was sitting in the bar of the Bedford Hotel on East 40th Street. A play I had written 4 times had melted and run out between my fingers. I sat on the bar stool wondering what to do next. At that moment, Robert Capa came into the bar, looking a little disconsolate. A poker game he had been nursing for several months had finally passed away. His book had gone to press, and he found himself with nothing to do. Willie, the bartender, who was always sympathetic, suggested a Suissesse, a drink which Willie makes better than anybody else in the world. We were depressed, not so much by the news, but by the handling of it. For news is no longer news, at least that part of it which draws the most attention. News has become a matter of punditry. A man sitting at a desk in Washington or New York reads the cables and rearranges them to fit his own mental pattern and his byline. What we often read as news now is not news at all, but the opinion of one of 6 pundits as to what that news means. Willie set 2 pale green Suissesses in front of us, and we began to discuss what there was left in the world that an honest and liberal man could do. In the papers every day there were thousands of words about Russia, what Stalin was thinking about, the plans of the Russian general staff, the disposition of troops, experiments with atomic weapons and guided missiles, all of this by people who had not been there, and whose sources were not above reproach. And it occurred to us that there were some things that nobody wrote about Russia, and they were the things that interested us most of all. What do the people wear there? What do they serve at dinner? Do they have parties? What food is there? How do they make love, and how do they die? What do they talk about? Do they dance and sing and play? Do the children go to school? It seemed to us that it might be a good thing to find out these things, to photograph them and to write about them. Russian politics are important, just as ours are. But there must be the great other side there, just as there is here. There must be a private life of the Russian people. And that we could not read about because no one wrote about it, and no one photographed it. Willie mixed another Suissesse, and he agreed with us that he might be interested in such things too, and that this was the kind of thing that he would like to read. And so we decided to try it, to do a simple reporting job backed up with photographs. We would work together. We would avoid politics and the larger issues. We would stay away from the Kremlin, from military men and from military plans. We wanted to get to the Russian people if we could. It must be admitted that we didn't know whether we could or not, and when we spoke to friends about it, they were quite sure we couldn't. We made our plans in this way. If we could do it, it would be good, and a good story. And if we couldn't do it, we would have a story too, the story of not being able to do it. With this in mind, we called George Cornish at the Herald Tribune, had lunch with him, and told him our project. He agreed that it would be a good thing to do and offered to help us in any way. Together we decided on several things. We should not go in with chips on our shoulders, and we should try to be neither critical nor favorable. We would try to do honest reporting, to set down what we saw and heard without editorial comment, without drawing conclusions about things we didn't know sufficiently, and without becoming angry at the delays of bureaucracy. We knew there would be many things we couldn't understand, many things we wouldn't like, many things that would make us uncomfortable. This is always true of a foreign country. But we determined that if there should be criticism, it would be criticism of the thing after seeing it, not before. In due time, our application for visas went to Moscow. And within a reasonable time, mine came through. I went over to the Russian consulate in New York, and the consul general said, "We agree that this is a good thing to do. But why do you have to take a cameraman?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?